ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be with you today. I apologize, we are running a little bit late this beautiful Saturday evening, but I can't find my co-host. Now, we all know and love my co-host by now, and we know that he's going to think I somehow buggered things up, and that's why he's not on the show today. But to be quite honest, I haven't seen an email from him, I haven't received a phone call, and I'm just getting his answering machine on his cell. So, Wynn, if you're out there, the facts are in, and you're not here. So, we're going to do this show without you. Actually, it's going to be a fun day today because you got me, and, well, actually, you'll have a couple me's. That's always kind of fun. I played a few new tracks by Don Nikoloff, our hero, Evident Footprints. Folks, yeah, I hope you're tuning in every night to Evident Footprints. If you're not tuning in to Evident Footprints, then you're missing a heck of a show. You gotta love Don and the way he brings information out, and it's engaging. You'll like it. It's always hot. But he also does a lot of music, and he put some fun little clips together for us, some intro and outro clips, and some little commercial knickknacks for fun. And I hope you enjoy them. And if you like them, you know, send Don an email. Let him know you love him, and send us an email. Tell us what you think of him. We'll be running quite a bit. We'll bring out a few every week or so. We don't want to overwhelm you with nuttiness. I hope everyone's enjoying the new station. You know, we do have a new station in town, and it's downtown LA. It's a full-on station. People can go into the studio. It's a little studio where you can go in and do your show and have a bunch of people there and have the right equipment and start running your programming. And so we got a new lineup over on bbstalkradio.com, and I hope you're tuning into it. It's quite enjoyable. It is not what we currently produce on any of the stations. It's quite different. It's in your face, it's loud, so enjoy it, because we do. it really gives a balance to a lot of what we're doing and the seriousness of the world, because, oh, folks, this world is getting way too serious, way too quick, and people are starting, you know, to feel the weight of it. We're an oppressed people, and we're being oppressed by the few. The few with money, but the few. And it certainly is a mind bend, because these few people have dominated so many corporations and banks throughout the world that they're really playing a heck of a chess game, and they're killing us, pure and simple. They're robbing us of our maximum joy. They're robbing us of our maximum life, or trying to. I mean, again, folks, they can't do anything you don't let them. Now or ever. So, are they really taking that away from you? Again, only if you love them. My joy levels are extreme. I mean, nothing's going to get between me and my joy. Nothing. But, of course, you know, that leads down a whole new land of self-discovery. But again, it's about taking action and bringing a stop to what we find unacceptable. And again, most of that's quite unacceptable. And they're going at a heck of a clip, aren't they? It's almost ludicrous, actually, to be watching this. Because everything they say is a lie. Everything they do is the opposite. They've absconded and obstructed every law enforcement agency and every... again, I don't want to keep hashing the old news. Everybody knows. The question is, what are we doing about it? So we're all trying to do our piece, I hope. I know I am, and I hope you are. Now, we're going to try to get someone on the air here, if we can. Sorry, I have no dialing assistant. I have to do this myself. Dial those numbers. See if we get anyone. There we go. Okay, we must have Douglas Newsom on the air.
Well, how are you doing, Don?
I'm doing excellent. It's a pleasure to have you on BBS Radio. My first co-host, Winfrey, if anybody remembers him.
Mr. Reliable?
Yeah. He didn't show up.
He didn't?
No, he went AWOL on me.
Oh, my goodness. That's just not like him.
Yeah,
you know, that would be like Mrs. Clinton not appearing for an ability to get on TV and spew her garbage forward. You know, there's this. Have you heard about the $5 million that she lent to her campaign?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know the funniest part of all that is, Doug, is that she didn't have that much money too long ago. So how come all of a sudden she has?
Well,
she's
she didn't
a multimillionaire.
Have that money either.
No, but remember when he was in office, they were thinking, you know, this is great to live in the White House because they really had no money, and they were even peddling money and trying to, you know, rip off Margaret Hughes insider information, from what I understand. And somehow now they got millions.
Millions.
They got so many millions they can loan their own campaign fund $5 million.
Yeah. Well, I took a little bit of research on. How much money each one of the candidates have. Surprisingly enough, Ron Paul and Obama, I guess Ron Paul might have $1 million, but barely. And, of course, he's been in politics all his life. And Obama doesn't even have close to that, maybe $750,000, maybe less. And yet the other candidates, Clinton's included, have multi-millions. That's no surprise.
No surprise.
It shouldn't be any surprise.
Well, no.
You know,
I mean, anybody can steal anything if they want to. That's an easy path.
These elections are so important that even mom, you know, a lady who has a heart condition, she should have been gone long, long, long ago. It's an aneurysm that's as big or bigger than the heart itself, next to the heart, because it's an amalgamation now of two bubbling scenarios within the major aorta right next to the heart. Can barely walk, can barely get around. And today she wakes up and she says, take me to the caucus so I can vote.
I can vote. You know, that's mom.
Yeah.
And good on her, because, you know, even though they're absconding with our elections and they're lying, someone's going to have to recount. Hopefully there is some way to at least, with the proper ballots in place, to backtrack and find out exactly what's what.
Well, here's a surprise,
and it's important,
Don,
that everybody get out and vote, even though it's, you know, being stolen from you, and it has been many elections, and now they've just wired it together electronically to do it quicker, easier, with less trail.
Well, here's the
to
surprise.
Mastermind.
Here's the surprise to me. When I went to the Republican, because of course mom wanted to vote for Ron Paul, which I would if I was, a Republican.
If I were a U.S. citizen, I'd be voting for Ron Paul.
But, you know, there was nobody there probably under the age of 50. That was the first thing that shocked me on the Republican side.
Yeah.
Nobody. There were no young people there. None. Second thing that surprised me is almost everybody that went there was for Ron Paul. I kid you not, almost the full balance of delegates from that precinct were voting Ron Paul. Now, that came as a surprise to me, because when I see the Ron Paul numbers coming in, he never gets any percentage of the vote.
Yeah, but when you see other numbers throughout, you know, accurately portrayed, it's staggering. Because all of them, if they're accurate, well, at least, no, I can't say all of them, but many that are quite accurate and responsible about their ethics have shown us a whole different set of numbers. So the numbers that are coming out of the media, remember, the media is not unbalanced. Exactly like Fox News states, we report, you decide. You know why they say that? And CNN says we're now the political news machine? They are stating a very fact. One, we're an entertainment. You can take it how you like it. And they have no qualms about influencing the election with people who put more money in their pockets.
Well, it's true.
The criminal part of it, because they gave us the illusion they were fair and balanced, and they committed, truthfully, fraud.
Well, it's the same
thing.
No,
it's fraud.
When
it's fraud. That's fraud when you're in business and you do something against what you state you're going to do and you make money through that deception. That's fraud.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, there are legal, legal terms.
I don't know if I can call it fraud so much because now we allow for it. It's almost like the Canadian legal system.
Well, do we? No, we don't. We allow by being...
We allow for it because none of the laws that are supposed to be upheld are being upheld.
Right. Right. We're being.
So what they're doing is they're saying we're abiding by a non-existent platform of laws that really we're not being held accountable.
Well, yes.
And as a result of that, we're doing nothing wrong. And
right.
To me,
very
that's
true.
What's happening. Now, are they breaking any real law? Not if there is no laws that are being upheld.
That very good point. Good point. I mean, once you've already cracked the foundation of the Constitution, what's left?
Well, here's the problem.
I agree. I mean, how can if it's not being upheld, then really, what are they having to abide by?
Now, I had some conversations with Mom earlier, and these are just going to another point of view. And I do this with everybody I talk with, and I think it, being a devil's advocate, if you can be the devil's advocate every time and look at the opposite point of view, there's merit in at least observing the opposite point of view. And even when I argue on against my own beliefs, and I do in many cases, just to point out the opposite point of view, it allows everybody something to think about. Are you still with me, my brother? There goes my brother. Gets me online and has to take a call. I love him. Should we wait, or should I just continue spewing forth some of the information I have in my head? Well, I'm going to spew some information forth. What was shocking today for me when I went to...
Doug, I'm going to leave you for just a sec. I'll be right back. Just keep going.
All right. Earlier today when I was at that caucus meeting, and I saw so many people out there voting, and voting for Ron Paul, almost the majority, I mean the vast majority, perhaps 90% of the people there voting for Ron Paul. And I'm sure there were probably a total of 20 or 30 delegates from that area that that were projected for Ron Paul. I was surprised to see that because in the news what you hear today is, you know, Ron Paul, you can discount him. He's not even a factor. He doesn't even get mentioned in the news. And yet when you go to these caucuses, everybody's voting for Ron Paul. That's surprising to me. I really don't know what that means. Are they really reporting the truth? I don't know. I question that now. And today was just an example of why we should question some of these results that they come out with. But it was also wonderful to see that the people over 50 years old were voting for Ron Paul, even though McCain was the clear winner, and they probably lose their vote voting for Ron Paul. They're still voting for Ron Paul. So they're out there to make a stand for liberty, and let people out there know that liberty is the most important thing to us, especially the Constitution. So
sir,
it made me very, very, very happy to see that. Yeah, you know, Don?
Yes.
When I was speaking to you earlier, I was talking about becoming a devil's advocate on various points of view. And one of the things that people seem to discuss today, probably the biggest thing on everybody's lips, is the idea of a global one-world government or global world economy. Am I right about that? That seems to be, you know, the global elites looking for one-world government.
Right.
And we don't want that, or a lot of people don't want that. But I want to try to argue the reason why that might be good.
Again, I've heard that point, and I don't mind unifying a world. I just don't feel that it's acceptable when the few that run this or manage or govern this oppress the many. Because it shouldn't be allowed to be a tool for that sort of inequity. Therefore, if it were someone who's a council of maybe 20 people, 15 people or something, where this council was put there not by pay, they didn't get a pension, they didn't get dick. Nothing. Except they got the honor of being the overseers and governing rightfully so, by the choice of the people. And they are up there until the people decide to let them go. And by the way, it should be so that the people can immediately let them go. The key people should not have to wait for any term limits or anything. They should be able to hold a vote immediately, bam, get rid of the loser.
Hear a phone call in the back. Is that something you have to take again, Don?
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes I call up into the station. My brother gets so busy, he doesn't have very much time for me. So this is a great opportunity for my brother and I to talk politics. We just don't get that many opportunities
to
talk.
I just turned it off.
Oh, good, good. Well, the idea since you do understand that there are other points of view, I want to kind of take it back. Let's talk about a different subject matter that everybody's very, very hot on. That's bankers. And the idea that there's a private, a group of individuals that comprise the Federal Reserve that are putting our country in a vice grip. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now let's go back to the to 1913. Let's look at why they might argue on their behalf.
No, I don't want to go into the history of that.
No, I don't. I don't want to go into the history, but I want to kind of give an argument here. Let's say that the country is a company, and your company at that time. I thought you turned these phones off.
No, this is a caller.
Oh, okay.
Caller, welcome to the air. I guess you could hold on for a sec. Doug was just going to make a point.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, it's Sam. Sam,
yes,
from PBSTalkRadio.com. Doug, you just shut up for a second.
Doug, my man, my brother, what's going on, Doug?
How are you doing, Sam? Your radio station is fantastic.
Thank you, man. I love so many
of the shows on your network, especially the comedy show.
Oh, yeah? You like it?
Boy, he's a funny guy.
Which one? TJ?
TJ!
Yeah, he's funny.
Barbecue Central myself. I thought that was great.
He did a great production on it, and I'm having him do the bumpers for the station now.
What a... You know, you've really done... My hat's off. You put this thing all together so quickly and so smartly with so many good shows... And you're gaining no dollars for this effort. My hat's off. My hat's off. You're like the Mother Teresa of radio.
I'm telling you, you know what?
And he looks good in a skirt.
To be completely honest with you, I can't believe I did it either. It's as though some force worked through me. You know, it's unbelievable. But in less than a month, you know, I tell people exactly a month ago this thing was only an idea. And today it's an operating radio station.
Today you found a new BBS radio station.
Yes, sir.
And its own creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's alive.
And so different, not spiritual. Your network doesn't discuss spiritual matter. It basically discusses everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
which makes it a real strong, I think, addition to BBS Radio, because I think in many ways BBS Radio, to be able to branch into that more mainstream conversations, more mainstream topics, it makes this very, very interesting. So I encourage everybody out there to check out BBSTalkRadio.com, because it really is quite a wonderful platform and a lot of very, very, very unique shows.
I think so, and we've already got several new hosts lined up with great shows.
Oh, yeah. We've got a half dozen that we need to talk about because they're, yeah.
You know, I was discussing earlier, Sam, with my brother, the idea of a private group of individuals that control the Federal Reserve that are literally putting our country in a vice grip.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, doing a lot of harm to this country as it stands now. And people are very upset at this. But here I throw this out. Let's say you're a company, and like a country, and there are hundreds of companies out there. And in the 1913 period, let's say that your company's fairly bankrupt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to compete on the world scene, and there's this group of people out there with $10 million, and they can give it to any company they want, any company they want.
Right.
And they may say to your company, you know, if you want... We will give you the $10 million, and your company will dominate all the other companies for the next 100 years.
At least.
Through your lifetime, through your children's lifetime, you will have the major say and the major voice of what all these companies do if you take our money.
Yeah.
And if you don't take their money, they say, we'll give it to this other company, and they'll dominate. Now, what would you do?
Okay, well, what do you give them in return?
Well, that's just it. Sooner or later, you're going to pay the piper, and they're going to want their pound of flesh. And that pound of flesh will be more and more expensive every year. But they say to you, we will keep funding your company, and you will continue to be the dominant company.
Right.
Yeah.
To make you almost, or you almost make the deal with the devil.
Yeah.
So a lot of people might be really upset at the banking institution, this power elite. But bear in mind, this power elite gave this country a lot of capital in order to be the dominant free voice that it is over the past 100 years. Bear in mind, there have been bankers prior to America. This, I mean, money's been in those people's hands forever and a day. Don't think back 100 years. Think hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Folks, before we go on for just a second, since I have Don's attention, Don, are you there?
I'm here, my friend.
Okay, I just want you to know that the 4140 did not work, and my station is at a standstill right now. So while I'm talking to Doug, if you could...
4140?
Yeah?
No, it should work, my friend. That's
It's not, I'm getting errors.
Hold on. Let's just have a look-see.
All right,
Hold on now. Let's try.
I don't want to bore anybody, so you go on with this, and I'll talk to Doug. But Doug, I'm hearing what you're saying. You know, I mean, with 10 million, we would dominate from now till eternity, like you said.
And that's just one way of. So ultimately, when we take a look at both sides, there is some element of merit in everybody's understanding.
Yeah.
The reason I throw that out there is because judging people as good or bad, I think isn't the way to look at it. You know, today I had a conversation with my sister, and I love her dearly. And she said, I really would have voted for one of these Republican candidates, not Ron Paul. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, I said, why? And she says, well, because
Sam,
they would
4110, sorry.
They would make our country safe. We need this military machine to keep our country safe, and we need it because we do have this war. And I, of course, stepped in, well, you know, we wouldn't have this war if we didn't start it. We didn't put in the dictators and then try to kick them out later and give them all this military might that they use against us.
Yeah.
And she said, you're right, but now that we're there, we have to continue with the program.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a spiritual guy. And I should not judge anybody or any point of view. I really shouldn't. I should be able to respect it, love it, and say that's a truth for you. But instead I got upset. I got upset and I said, my gosh, don't you understand that the most important thing is to value life. I think if you come with that understanding and you value life first, that's a platform to stand on. That's probably the most important thing to stand on. And if you can't value life, how would you let this loving energy come into you? If you want a spiritual awakening, how can you allow yourself to believe that to kill somebody for any sort of a gain gives you a gain? And, of course, she was upset. I got upset, and ultimately we both, it was almost a war that started over that. And I had to think, I had to step back from the situation, and I had to say, you know, I'm wrong. I'm wrong because, one, I should have been able to look at that point of view, not judge it, smile, and be friendly in the way we communicated our points of view. And really understand it for what it was. Here I am, supposedly being able to be the devil's advocate on every argument, and yet when I spoke with her, I couldn't help but get upset.
Yeah.
You know, so I have things to work on. And I think that when I see a lot of these people out there spewing forth their hate for anybody or for any political organization, I think that's wrong on so many levels. I think we have to come together and understand each other's
points. Well, again, I'm not going to go out there and say Bush is doing all he can. He's just the man for the job, or he's trying his best. I say, you know, I love him because he's part of me. But he's the part of me that needs to learn a big bloody lesson.
I think there are fundamental things we all need to learn. And I think that we find those inner truths within ourselves.
Well, it's again, it's not, you're not going to go out there and start coddling a nightmare. You're not going to bring somebody who's very sick, mentally disturbed, and murderous into your home.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Well, you know, and they may have points of view.
Yeah.
See, it also comes from... when it comes down to a point of view, you really, like you were saying before, do they respect life or do they not?
Yeah.
And those that do not respect life, that are in positions of power, may have built those power structures to signify various things and to allow for the expansion of their selfish power structure. And that may have been happening for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel right here, right now, on this planet, the way things are, as it stands, totally and absolutely unacceptable, and I will not tolerate it. I will speak out against it. I will fight against it. I will walk against it, talk against it, and act against it until it's gone or until I'm dead.
You know, I think that I'm going to be, more or less discuss very, very fundamental principles of love. And I think that if we came with an idea that life is more important than anything else, forget the politics of that statement, but just that understanding, if we take that into our heart, we sit back and we meditate, would I kill somebody? And if your answer is you could, ask yourself why and how that makes you feel, and whether creation would do that if it was in your position, or God would do that if God was in your position. And how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel angry at yourself for being able to do that, or allow others to do that? You know, and if we question ourselves within on these fundamental principles, we might awaken, regardless of our political points of view. I think in many ways these questions, when answered within, will shape our political points of view. I really do.
Folks, can I interrupt for just a second? I'm sorry. This is fascinating.
You
John,
just bored the hell out of the man.
Did I? No. Are you bored to tears now, Sam?
Actually, yeah.
Somebody get Manu. Where's Manu?
Actually, wait a minute. It's not about boredom. It's about the fact that I'm distracted because my server is not working.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the 4110 is not working.
Oh, boy. Are you kidding?
Well, at least you got a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, well, do I have a choice?
That's kind of odd.
What is a 4-0? What are we...
No, Doug, it doesn't matter.
You know, the stream I have in my sight now is a woman talking about UFOs and shit, you know? And it just doesn't fit in our format.
If I was a politician running today, the question that they always say, oh, well, what's on most important is a platform that people need to run on. Some people say it's, you know, military might. Some people say it's the economy and the condition it's in. Some people it's saying the rights for gay marriages. But you know what? I think people want to hear not what Fox tells you that's most important to us. You know what's most important for me to hear? Somebody that says, I want truth. I don't like secrecy.
Yeah.
I want people that stand up for the little man, all the men, all people in this country.
Well, Doug, you're so little, everybody's standing up for you.
No, but we don't hear that. We don't hear that. Mind you, what's surprising is I do hear this.
Sam, that is the correct number.
I do hear this from one candidate, Sam, and he's starting to make me believe that his voice is important. It's more important now because he's probably the only voice out there we have left to us that actually states that change is important, and that's Obama. And you know what, at this point in in where I stand, you know, being that there's really no other candidate now that I could, that I would pick of the three, McCain, or let's say four, Huckabee, McCain, Hillary, or Obama, I'd have to, at this stage, to make, you know, pick Obama. If those were my four choices, I would pick Obama.
You'd pick Obama. And you know what? I think that's probably what's going to happen, but because he just won today, and he's really moving ahead. I think he sort of like came from a blind spot, and Hillary didn't even realize. I don't think anybody realized how successful he would be in this campaign.
Has anybody heard about where she came up with the $5 million?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. But let me tell you, I just think his background is not necessarily what's best for the country. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just there's certain things that you need to look in his background. I've read some things that are actually pretty scary. You know?
But he also represents, even though his background may not be ideal, and I agree with you, but but like a symbol. He's almost become a symbol of change.
Yeah.
Even if his ideas are wrong, he's become a symbol of change. And
that allows the agenda. That allows the agenda of the mafiosa to continually brain hump you.
Brain hump you. That's an interesting way of putting it, Don.
So if you, I will not vote for a man I find unacceptable.
May I ask you a question, honestly. Why do you find him unacceptable, per se? Not that I don't know, but I'd really like you to voice your opinion as to what makes you feel that.
Oh, heck, the first clue?
Yeah.
The very first clue?
Mm-hmm.
Media loved him.
So you hate the man because the media loved him?
Well, let me tell you. What's the media's goal? Doug, hold on a minute. What's the media's goal? Okay.
So if the media loves
if you, can't,
you're
if you can't connect
a
couple simple little dots, Doug.
Yeah.
See, it's my point of view, and I connect a few.
Yeah, but what other dots are there that are making that a viable understanding?
First of all, he comes out of nowhere. He's African American, which I don't mind. But he comes out of nowhere being African American. All of a sudden, is an overnight best-selling author, and he's got so many books out there, and interviewed on magazines. Media loves him, and bam!
Have you heard him speak?
Now I got to tell you, when that happened,
no.
That's like, honestly, such an in-your-face move. I can't stand it. So then I went to check out who he is, what he's done, what he's voted for. What he stated, where he's been, and you get a real picture for the man, and he's a snake in my opinion.
Really?
A sick abomination.
I'm sorry, Don, I just don't understand. I guess I haven't read a lot of the
articles. No, you haven't. You've been listening to some great speeches that were written for a very wicked man.
A wicked man.
Opinion.
How can you say that?
Doug, I can say it with absolute my being certainty.
Excuse me, Doug. Don't even try with him. That you know when he laughs like that, man. There's no change in his mind. But Don, do you?
So what happens if we back a candidate? We're a media company, so if we back a candidate, doesn't that make them defunct?
The truth is this.
Well, that's
Don,
a reason
a
for
we're not in here telling people that we're your fair and balanced news agency. What we tell them is we have no balance, and we certainly aren't fair in who we believe you should vote for. I'm not giving people any illusions as to this is not spun material. It's spun in our point of view because we're sick and tired of the way it is. And I'm not going to, you can't be fair and balanced about that. You can't sit, we want to tell it like it is, and there's a point of view.
Yeah. Well, I like all points of view to come out, you know? That's really something I believe in the most. All
okay,
points
so,
of view being put out on the table.
I mean, Obama's hiring people that are quite questionable as far as I'm concerned, and his alliances And the people he hangs around with, I'm very concerned with. And where he travels to multiple times, I'm extremely concerned with. And how he treats the understanding of our own symbols, I'm very concerned with. There are many things
of all the candidates,
worries me about.
He still is a voice for change. And I think that's important.
Sure, he's a voice for his change.
I think, you know what, I think the Democrats are going to be a change regardless of whether it's Hillary or Obama. It's just that this is all a question of branding, you know, and he...
Branding. I'll show you what they'll brand. They're going to brand Hillary because Hillary is now rich. And Hillary had Clinton, and they've actually got a handle on it, and they've got their sickness spread throughout most of it. And they're a shoe-in for the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, the people at the top. Why? Because they're going to do exactly what they're supposed to do, and she's going to bring home more women, and we're going to have more excitement.
Yeah, exactly.
It is exciting times, I must say that.
Exciting times. We've got, I think, at least three people that we can safely vote for and know that we're going to get change. And
would I have a threesome with her? You bet.
Even if McCain wins, in my opinion, it's still better than what we had 4 years ago or 8 years ago.
You know, there's truth to that. I don't think we could put anybody in office right now, including an absolute idiot.
Well, we got a monkey in there.
And do better than what we've done.
We got a monkey in there.
Yeah.
The same kind of monkey, the same kind of prototype monkey that we strapped into our earlier space capsules. I'm telling you, and he's running the country with very little grammatical presence.
Yeah, Don.
Very little mind.
Please, Don. Just a second, Don. Mm-hmm. My station is fucking spewing UFO shit. I need to have my programs back. Where the fuck?
Okay. Are you trying 4110?
Yeah, I am. And I'm getting to your stream. If you
okay, hold on. Let me check.
On your browser.
What's a 4110, Sam?
Try your browser and see what feed you're getting from BBS Talk Radio.
Okay, I don't think he's with us any longer, Sam.
Who, Don?
So you have the floor. You actually get the floor now. Oh.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Doug, listen, I hear what you're saying, and you know what? I'm thinking if Obama wins, look, I'm for Hillary. If Obama wins, however, it's not going to be the end of the world like it was for me 4 and 8 years ago when this, like what your brother calls monkey, made it into there. You know?
Yeah, it's just surprising that he did make it in. A man who never ran a corporation except into the ground. Or made money doing anything in the private sector,
actually got
to run our company. And the same thing occurred. But bear this in mind, Sam.
Yeah.
Clinton had $37 million running into the end of January, and then she's broke. What does that tell you about what's going to happen when she's in office and there's money? The next day, there won't be any money. She runs her campaign in the similar fashion as she will probably run the financial affairs of the country. It is a very telling sign. And if you don't look for those telltale signs, and that being very clear, very evident, then I think we're missing the boat a little. I think
there is something to what you're saying, but you know what? To me, we're getting two for the price of one. I mean, we're getting Bill Clinton back. And, you know,
very
the
smart
thing
man.
Is that
no doubt about it.
Despite everything that he's done, the dubious things he's done, everybody remembers him as a great president.
Especially our women.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Especially the women. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
No, but you're right. I mean, women do like him.
They do. He's got a charisma about him.
He really does. He does. And you know what? I mean, even me as a man, his charisma does capture me. You know what I mean? Yeah, because he knows what the fuck he's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And,
I don't know if he's helped Hillary's campaign very much lately, though.
Yeah, well, I know.
In the last speech, I think he mentioned his name 100 times and hers twice. You know, what's that about?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Here's a guy who, what I like to term, media hound. He's become a media hound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, me, media hound. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
No.
But you know what? I don't know. I'm thinking again that I think we have a good selection to work from this time. You know,
we couldn't have had a more exciting election where we have the young people coming out and voting in droves, wanting a voice, wanting a say in their future. You got to give the Hillary, Obama, a lot of credit in this regard because they have invigorated us to come out and really, really have a say in droves.
Hmm.
And so I'm very impressed by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'd love to sit down and have coffee with them, talk politics with them. You know, I think it would be fun. Mind you, one of the things I do, Sam, is, you know, I'm a personologist to some degree. I kind of read faces.
Yeah.
And in the media, have any of you ever noticed, anybody out there ever noticed that most of the people on the Fox network and most of these larger networks all have very crooked faces? When I mean crooked, you take a piece of paper, you put it in the middle of their nose, and you take a look at one side of the face versus the other.
Yeah.
And generally, these speakers, they talk from one side of their face. It's crooked on one side of their face, their mouth, and the other side doesn't have as much movement. And there's a lot of differences between one side of the eyes versus the other side of the eyes, whether it be the eyebrows or where the eye is actually. And I find that very interesting. It's not good or bad in and of itself, but you know what it means when you have two different aspects to your face from one side versus the other? That means you have a nature that can go both ways.
Yeah.
Or opinions that can go both ways. And that's hard for me on many levels to look at a person like that and to say, I can believe what they're telling me today will be what they're going to tell me a month from now or a year from now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a person who studied personology, now I don't believe in personology any longer. I believe in feeling a person's nature simply by what they do and how they act. But, you know, as a personologist, you know, I look at that daily, and I find that many of these newscasters today have that going on in their face.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought I'd throw that out there and fill up time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fine. I'm just like thinking I'd get distracted here. But what I did want to tell you is that, you know, on our station, on the new station, you know, we've got... So you've listened to the shows, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Now,
you have a magnetic voice.
I don't know if you listened to the show the other day, but I said some... I gave some observation that I had the other day, and I was thinking maybe we should discuss this for a moment. But what I said was that I feel that masturbation in the shower poses a threat to our water supply.
Yeah, sorry, but no.
I want to hear what Manu's response to that was.
What's that?
Did she agree with you, your co-host?
Oh, well, she asked me, why do you think that? And I said, well, you know, I mean, you're spending 5 to 10 minutes in there after you're ready to get out, but yet you stay there for another 5 to 10 minutes. How many gallons is that, man? That's a lot of
fun. But you're talking about masturbating in the shower. Now, I've heard of masturbating in the bathtub, but in the shower? How do you do that?
In the bathtub,
how do you do that,
man? What are you talking about? You're gonna be floating.
Hey,
in
trust
your own
me, Doug. I've never masturbated in the shower either. So I'm.
Yeah, I don't know. But
see, that's my question, and I think Manu was right.
I don't think you
could
hang from the rod because it would be difficult. You know, the rod would come down. And
what rod are we talking about?
Curtain
here?
Rod. The bloody curtain would come down.
Yeah, but no, I mean, the thing is this, is that think of all the gallons of water that are being wasted. And someone actually suggested that I run on that platform for a president.
The waste, the wasting of water by masturbators? Is that?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think you win.
That's what he said.
We elect Sam for doormat.
Yeah, the Green Party, you know.
I love it. That's a good one.
No, we do.
That makes about as much sense as many of the platforms people are running on today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, what's really important seems to get lost.
Exactly. I mean, here we're like thirsting for water, and people are just wasting gallons upon gallons just for this, to pleasure themselves. I think there's other ways to do it.
I think we should start a religion and refuse entry to people who do that.
Kind of a don't ask, don't tell policy.
For the clergy, maybe.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are upset at this idea of Scientology, religion too, but how smart. When you got a man like Ron Hubbard that says, here are these religions out there, getting tax write-offs on land, never have to pay taxes.
Right.
And
he said, screw these religions, I'm going to do the same thing and turn it into a business model.
Right. I'm going to pretend to be a religion and get all the same benefits that they've been giving to these religions for forever and a day.
Sure. That's why the media hates them, and that's why they're so powerful.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually thought of that. I've actually thought of starting some sort of a religious... I don't know what we call
hold
it,
on.
Though.
They're a religious sect that have become criminals because it can be done.
Yes.
And that to me is not the way to live.
But what an eye opener! People really got the gist of what was happening there. Here's a group of people that are utilizing, I believe, the benefits of becoming a religious organization and getting away with it.
Well, everybody knew that the day they started.
Yeah.
Nothing new.
Nothing new. But in 10 years, where you and I have paid twice as much for our land due to the tax basis on the land,
they'll have purchased five times as much.
They will have purchased three or four more properties, right?
Yeah.
And I never have to pay taxes on it. This is the same thing we do. We allow royalty to do throughout Europe. I think they...
Oh, come on. First of all, we pay our senators if they get in there and get kicked out, or they're in there for a year, or whatever the case is. We pay everybody. We pay them all. We pay them till they die.
In fact,
we just keep paying everybody.
Yeah.
And we don't give ourselves anything.
Yep.
And we keep electing people that want to take it all from us, and we keep saying, take it all, take it all.
Yeah. Well, you have to laugh, because Canada, everybody thinks Canada is the place to live. Heck, those politicians are professional crooks.
Yeah. Well, they are.
I mean, every 10 years, they go away, and then they come back, because their criminal record, you know, got them out of the public eye for a while.
Yeah, they're really voted in.
Yeah. It's insanity.
Guys, yeah, the insanity there is unusual.
May I have the floor for a second?
Thank you.
Between the both of you, I can't get a word in edgewise. But first thing, Don, real quick, have you made any progress?
Yes.
What's that?
It's 4110, and you're just not setting it correctly. And we'll go through that here in about five minutes.
You know that I am.
No, you're not. You'd have to set the variables.
Okay. All right. So I'll just wait till your show is over. But the thing is that I think we could take the show in a in kind of a lighter direction, if you want. Since
so you got some ladies screaming about UFOs and some.
Yeah, I mean, I got someone talking about UFOs on my station, man. It's like, you know, give me a break. That's what this was about, man. That's why we have BBS Radio. You know?
Take your programming and move it to BBS Radio. We don't want that garbage here, right?
That's funny.
I know. Well, but now it's like people are going to go, what the fuck? You know, this is not what I bargained for on this site.
No, we want to talk more about masturbating monkeys.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
That's what we built PBS Talk Radio for. I mean, my goodness.
Exactly.
What are these people thinking?
You can talk about anything there. But did you hear some of our guests this week? We had some really interesting guests, totally varying from one to the other, but it was interesting. There was a young actress from Kenya, and she was telling us about all the horror stories that are going on there right now.
Really?
And, yeah,
I've heard of it in the media. It's really become a catastrophe there.
Well, there's
really
a lot of...
It really is, you know. They had, like, a botched elections in December, and people are killing and maiming each other there like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she saw her brother's head get cut off and shit.
Her own brother's head?
Yeah.
And you were interviewing her?
She was in Kenya, and then she was here to live and tell about it. So
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we had her on the show, and...
Is she normal?
Really it was mesmerizing, you know. If you go to the archives, you'll see that was our Tuesday show, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
that's unbelievable.
It is. It really is, you know. And then we had a six-year-old girl, African-American girl, that came with her parents. And you would not believe, she's like supposedly talented, right? But she comes in, she starts singing, she starts dancing, she recorded a song and like, sort of like an upbeat, you know, dance song, Mad Baby or something like that.
mad Baby. Yeah, I know.
I love it. Gotta
something
hear that
like
song.
That, yeah. What? I don't think it's mad, it's something, slam baby. And you know, the thing is, I mean, and just to hear her talk, it would just blow you away, you know?
6 years old.
And, 6 years old, and you're thinking that, and you can tell, I mean, yes, she's heard things from adults and learned how to talk, but you can see that she's got a mind of her own. I mean, she knows what she wants. You know, I invited them because I wanted to...
I love that. That's...
Yeah, I wanted to give it to the mother to ask her, what are you thinking, you know, because based on what she described to me, I thought, here we go with another JonBenet sort of a thing, right?
Right, right.
So I wanted to see what the parents are thinking, but when they came in, it was a complete turnaround. I mean, the girl was absolutely believable, you know, and she's just got... Yeah, so that's on our Wednesday show, I think. So...
I'm sorry, and, folks. He's only been in the business a week, and he's already interviewing little girls. Now, BBS Talk
in
Radio.
LA,
talk
in
com.
L.A., a lot of people want to get famous, you know? So
yeah!
We give them the platform.
Little girls.
Yeah, but, you know, we're going to look one day and laugh at these days because we're going to have so many fucking listeners.
Well, you know, and you know what the beauty is about our listenership? They're going to close out this program as we call in the light with us. Because we have a fireside chat coming up next, and that's with the zany mystic. And he's zany, and he's not to be missed.
And quite brilliant, really.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Brilliant. Love him, love him.
All right, zany, we're waiting for you. Our audience is waiting for you. So you get prepared, because we're coming for you. Folks, we're going to call in the light, as we do every show. We're going to close out, and unfortunately, Wynn is not here, and I'm going to have to mumble on through it. And I'm not very good at it, and this might only be the second or third time I've done it. So bear with me. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Sam, you still with us?
I'm here.
All right.
He doesn't want to be, but he's still here.
We ask those in service to the light, those who wish the highest good of all concerned to be here with us today, and we call forth that light. We ask to bring it in and surround us and those listeners that are out there tuning into BBS Radio, to surround those we know, love, and care about. We wish to send that energy, energies that are still being brought in from ourselves and the light workers throughout the world and those heavenly other beings that are in attendance with us today. We send it out to Iran, who needs it. We send it out to Iraq and the people there and to South Africa and throughout the world, to troubled spots, Israel and Turkey, Canada and the U.S., Mexico and South America. And we send it to our family members and those who can't be with us today and those who have passed over. And we thank you for tuning in once again to the Don and Wynn Show. Douglas, thank you for being a part of the show. Sam,
always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being who you are, the station founder, folks, for BBS Talk Radio.
Mr.
Love
Unique.
Love you guys.
We love you.
We love you, Sam.
And we'll be back, folks. Stick around a few more minutes. Up next, a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Don't go away.